jet lag mode, so forgive me. All right, so let's start. So my name is Aslam Goma. I'm a System Center MVP, and I'm also a system architect at Kivutu Solutions. What we're talking about today is actually best practice in virtualizing and managing Microsoft SQL Server with Microsoft System Center and Windows Server. Very much actually just to sum this is I'll be not focusing on how to virtualize SQL Server. I know that you guys are doing this, but I'll talk about it. I'll set the stage to let everyone know what we're talking about. Then after that, we'll see how how the System Center itself talk to SQL Server, how you can manage it, how you can do all the stuff, right? So mainly we'll be talking about Hyper-V. However, all what we are saying today, you can go ahead and do it in VMware. I have no discrimination about any product. The technology that we're talking about today with System Center talks very much to VMware, no problem, or Xen, or whatever you want. Good? All right. So I want to go with the clicker, maybe. All right. So as I said, I think we have a very decent crowd today, so let's actually do it very interactive session. And you guys, if you have a question, just ask me. And if we're going to go very, very deep in a question and we see that actually we're going to be maybe sidetracked, just I'll be here. We'll take it offline. Fair enough? Good. So anyone running 2012, server 2012 today? Beautiful. Anyone running 3.5 Windows? No? Good. Right. So in terms of performance and scalability, so we're talking today why Server 2012 is best for SQL Server for availability. Because we can run 640 processor using 64 sockets to handle requests from SQL Server. So the issue before that actually SQL Server required a lot of demand, a lot of resources. Now actually we did eliminate this by doing that. Two, SMB 3.0. A lot of people now they love this feature to actually deploy SQL Server on SMB 3.0, right? So now this expensive SAN and so on, you don't really need it if you read it, but actually you can. There's actually a lot of people that love that. Flexible storage and availability. By the way, you'll see me sounding like some marketing stuff here. I'm doing it, but just go with me for the next two slides, and after that we'll go more deep in demos, right? So flexible storage and availability. Now we can actually get an HBA for the SAN on your VMM, right? On your virtual machine, on your Hyper-V, right? Before actually we couldn't do that. iSCSI, we do the same thing, right? You can actually talk with VMM itself using iSCSI initiator to talk to the iSCSI itself. So today, with Windows Server 2012, we are fully supporting, if you install only the core, Windows Server Core. Anyone with deploying Windows Server Core today? So Windows Server Core actually minimizes the footprint of Windows. Minimizing footprint of Windows means actually less patching, less reboot, less restart, right? So actually we are minimizing 40 and 60% of the footprint of Windows. Xen actually will give us a lot of availability because your SQL Server is up. But also, if you use SQL Server Cluster Aware, you'll be able to automate your update. So use SQL Cluster Aware, then actually you automate your maintenance, take this node out, patch it, reboot it, put it back. Same thing, right? And so on. Deployment and management. A lot of people now, they love this actually using VMM to deploy the SQL Server, right? I will show you with VMM how we can effectively deploy virtual machines that have SQL, that actually have a healthy SQL. I've seen a lot of people, they go and actually copy and paste VHDs. That's not the right way to do it. Portability or development workload. It's like a lot of people now, they actually want to have this machine hosting this data center or this data center. And the problem with SQL, you cannot do that. So actually, you can actually move your VM from here or there with live motion. So talking again about the availability, neck teaming. Anyone running with neck teaming today? All right. So with Hyper-V, you can actually easily offer neck teaming in the backbone. And the SQL machine doesn't really know anything about that. You can have two different subnets and in neck teaming and neck teamed and actually doing that. So let me, why that shut down? Let me show you this. really. This is what I really want. Sorry, I just lost network. Hopefully. This is exactly what I was. Sorry, say again. Well, actually, I was wired, not wireless, but I thought maybe it would be alternative. It doesn't work either. All right. System. All right, good. Here you go. Did you just fix it? I know you. So if we go to Hyper-V, I choose one of the machines, can go to the network adapter, and go to advanced features. You guys, do you see here, neck teaming? If you enable this, you'll be able to actually, if you have set up the infrastructure correctly, you'll be able to enable neck teaming behind this. So when you connect your VM on this, the VM actually doesn't really know anything about those. It actually knows actually the Hyper-V has this. Right. So back to this. On-demand platform provisioning. So how many SQL DBA we have here? And how many IT professional here? Awesome. So SQL DBA always send a request to IT saying, hey, I want to have a virtual machine that has database, right? That always happened, right? How long do they wait for that? How long do they wait for that? Shout that? 4 days? 3 hours? I make them wait 30 minutes. In fact, I don't let them wait. They do it by themselves. Using Service Manager, Orchestrator, Virtual Machine Manager. I will show you all of this, how we're going to put all of this together today, right? We can actually do self-service portal. You want to beat me, huh? You want to just do it 3 hours? I'm going to make it 3 minutes. What do you think? We'll do that. So sure, lower cost, of course. If actually I want to share electricity, power, networking on all of this, actually for sure I will do lower cost. So since actually I talked about actually what's good for virtualizing, I should actually say actually what's the other side of this. SQL Server VM sprawl. So anyone here has 100 instances of SQL, right? So anyone actually know, show of hand, has more instance of SQL than his servers for SQL? Right, and I see a lot of people here. 2, 1, that's good, right? So this is actually what SQL Server VM sprawl. If we all enable this, and with VM provisioning, everyone wants to go, just go. I want to deploy a VM. I want to deploy a VM. So actually, this is actually a need to actually to verify the process, if the process works or not, right? Licensing challenges. Honestly, there is actually supposed to have a co-presenter with me. His name is Anur, and he did always insist to put licensing challenges. However, I see the challenge of SQL Server licensing. It is the same, either VM or physical. You're going to license your SQL Server anyway. You're going to license them. Additional layer of monitoring. So today, if I'm running a VM, I also need to monitor my hypervisor. I need to monitor also my VMware infrastructure and so on. So this is something that you have to need to take in consideration when you deploy this. So a lot of time I got my DBAs telling me, I want to see my server. That's why I did put this actually, you cannot actually hug your server anymore, right? So And now that was actually my sales, marketing pitches for this, right? Now we're going to go technical, and we'll talk more about stuff, good stuff. Right. So today, actually, we'll talk about deploy SQL Server using System Center Virtual Machine Manager. How many today using Virtual Machine Manager? Right. How many today not using Virtual Machine Manager? Right. So if 1 plus 3 equals 4, I should actually see one here and the other one here. But I see some people that didn't raise their hand at all. How many of you using SQL Profile? Very good. Very good. So I will show you today how many actually, I want to hear this from you. How do you guys deploy SQL Server on a VM environment? Right. So I heard today in the keynote, and correct me, that today we are supporting Oracle on Hyper-V, right? This has been, I think I heard that, and actually in the blogs. So go take a look at this. So then, provide self-service capabilities using System Center Virtual Machine Manager. I will show you how we're going to do that. Then manage SQL Server using automation, using Orchestrator. Anyone using Orchestrator today? Really? I was expecting more. System Center Orchestrator guys, don't be shy. Anyone running on VMware today? All right, cool. Anyone running Ops Manager? Very cool. Like that. So I'll show also how to monitor SQL Server using Ops Manager. And Ops Manager has been always a black box for my DBAs. I will get actually one of the DBA here to do the demo. Maybe we'll choose one. Then self-service backup and restore using DPM. All right. So let's actually switch to a lab. And I will tell you what we're going to do that. And by the way, since actually I'm MVP, I'm not working with Microsoft. I'll tell you exactly what works and what doesn't work, right? So no mercy. Are you from Microsoft? All right. Because normally when I say this, they laugh and they talk to me after that. All right. So let's go VMM. I think I have it open. All right. So Virtual Machine Manager has a concept of something named templates. So the template is exactly, you create the template, put a lot of effort in it, you create the best create the right hardware profile, you create the right SQL profile, the application profile, then from here, you make this template. Then every time you need to request, you request a VM, you need to call the template and just do it one and two and three and four, and just actually you do your most of your virtual machine deployment. So what I'd really like to show you first, in order to do a successful VM deployment with SQL Server, I'd like to show you the concept of the gold image. The gold image is where actually you are going to create the first template, or actually the first VHD, right? In order to do that, is to do this. First, let's actually, you know this? Assuming that I'm having, so this is a SQL Server, SQL machine. It's actually just a bare metal machine that actually has only OS. I will actually get the ISO image for it, for SQL Server, and I actually go to the installation wizard. The installation wizard, if you go for planning, installation, and so on, you go to advanced. In advanced, you look for image preparation for standalone instance of SQL Server, right? When you do this, make sure that you actually are using 2012 Service Pack 1. If you're not using Service Pack 1 SQL Server, what I'm saying is not going to work. You're going to go through a lot of hoops. So why not use SQL Server Service Pack 1? When you click here, you will get to the wizard, right? And you say actually what you would like to install. By default, this actually installation, what you do, right, it doesn't install SQL Studio. So if you want to do this, actually just go and install also SQL Studio on top of this. However, actually DBA, they love doing that, but actually I don't like doing that, right? You want to manage SQL Server, manage it from your machine, right? And you go next, and this is actually typical installation and so on, right? Once you do that, sys prep your machine and close it, right? Once you sys prep your machine, check the mark and say generalize and shut it down. Once we finish this, we have now something named gold image. This gold image, I need to take it after that. which has Service Pack 1. I need to take it and install and add it to my template. Let's see how we're going to do this. So I don't need this. So I already created multiple templates here. I do have this VM template that actually I'm using for SQL Server 2012 standard. And I do have the service template. So the service template, I do have those actually in particular I would like to show you. Why I would like to show you this, because the first one, if I see the Open Designer, this actually has the machine that I want to deploy. It has some parameters that I will add. Here, when you put at hostname at, this is exactly a parameter. If you remember, actually, in batch coding, you put actually percentage, like percentages, variable percentages. This is exactly what we're doing. And this actually, you need to call all your parameters here. I did actually, I'm going to get my deployment one, and the machine, and processors, and all of this. So now what's actually really interesting me is actually the SQL profile. SQL profile. I have two SQL profiles, one using INI, and the other one not using INI. The INI is your configuration files for your SQL Server. If you want to add passwords inside, if you want to add more configuration or so on, you do that. So for the SQL profile itself, I will show you this. So after you do your gold image for SQL, you have actually to enter this all the information. The name of the deployment I call deployment 1. The instance name, I'm going to call it MS SQL Server. And the instance ID, I'm going to call it SQL 1. And you can actually very much make all of this also variables. And this is the key, right, for the SQL Server. Then configuration. Actually, I want to actually, in the gold image, I forgot to tell you that actually you need to take the source for SQL Server and add it somewhere. So you copy the ISO image and just put it on your template. Go ahead. Sorry? The VM? The source? I think you can do that, but So the question is, the source of the data, can we put it on a file share? So you can very much do that if you want, but actually because the deployment of the application happened after deploying the OS. So the OS is up. And actually, what you need to do is, I will show you in the end of this, there's this VMM account that you need to give them access to read from to do the installation. Right. Right. So the VMM agent here doesn't really do any good for us. Actually, the VMM engine here, and actually in Virtual Machine Manager, that does the work, right? Because if your file share, it's a file share, you don't really need to push a Virtual Machine agent on it. Okay. Thanks. Good question. Then. Then SQL Server account, that actually you know that actually you run the agent under a SQL Server account, you know the services under a SQL Server account, you can actually list all of them here, right? So when I was talking about the INI, anyone actually create INIs for a SQL Server? How do you create it? Yeah. All right, so this manual step, how do you create it? Awesome. So the best thing, actually, if you want to actually just avoid doing this, try to go to install your SQL Server using the GUI, step by step. And the last step, you'll see a path for the INI. This is what you do, right? Take this INI, copy it, and save it in the library. So if I open this, right? I have the SQL INI that I want that actually can do more custom stuff for me that actually generated from this. So I don't really need to understand or I need to acquire more knowledge to do these things. SQL DB, you can do that. If you actually one-man shop at a shop, right, you can actually very much get a VMM and do a deployment from this. You don't really need to have a PhD in VMM. Go ahead. Which one will get applied first? I don't know. And would actually, I prefer actually not put the SA accounts in here. Right. I've never tried it, right? But I believe actually it will go through deploying everything as in here, and whoever. Well, I believe actually the one will apply and will rest to be applied is actually the one in VM, not the INI. Actually, it will go and see actually, oh, the one that's already set up, just don't do it again. I think that's what will happen, right? But try this at home and let me know. Good question. Right? Awesome. So we have done all our backbone work. Do we agree? More, any questions on this? Right. Well, actually, because actually we don't have a file server here, my actually stuff actually is the VMM user. So if you go here, the run as accounts, right? Normally, what it will do is this actually assist account that actually we use it, right? Questions so far? Go ahead. This actually will work for 2008 R2 for sure. Yeah, the MySQL profile exists since VMM 2008, and since actually it works also for SQL 2008 R2. Great, thanks. You need to ask Vijay for that. Sure. But I believe the SQL profile itself, there is no work has been done in this side. I believe actually all the work has been done in Catal and the Azure Pack and all of this and the backbone. So very much actually I'm done everything and now I need to start deploying my machine. So if I go and deploy my machine, I say actually I want to deploy a SQL Server standard. Right, and they actually say configure deployment, and say it's SQL 111, SQL 11. Said okay. That will come here. It's just have to refresh it. Right, and do you remember when I was telling you the host name? This is actually a parameter that you need to enter. If you don't enter this, just the machine is not going to work. Right, go ahead. You need to do some other work. Yeah, you need to do some, you can actually, it doesn't have. Yeah. You need to talk to me offline, this I'll let you know exactly, that you need to do a lot of scripting for this. But actually, you know what? There's actually something named Partial Deployment Tool, PDT, Partial Deployment Tool. You can use it to deploy your SQL cluster. It has more than that with a PDT. Good question. So I'm going to put SQL 11, SQL 1, 2, 3. Then I say deploy service. If I did all my homework right, this tool should go run till the end of the session, right? And after that, we should see this how it's going to work, right? I like this fact that actually it comes right away and say, hey, 71% even just exists. All right. So now, Now, so far what we have done is we deployed SQL Server, and now the problem is that we are doing today that actually if you take a VHD that has already has SQL Server and start doing copy, and just create a VM for this, it's not going to work. You know why? So what I'm saying is if you have already a VHD that has already SQL fully configured, right, and you copy it and create a VM based on VHD, it's not really the right way to do it. You know why? Because SQL Server instance itself still knows and still talk about the host name. So with this way, we actually eliminate all of this, right? Imagine if you are deploying 500 machine, you're not gonna go change just through the scripts about the SQL Server instance name itself. Good? Pardon me? Right, but you still actually, maybe I told you about, but the instance name is also, it need to talk about the server name itself inside. Yeah, but actually, as I said, it's not really related in here. It's only talking about the host name of the machine itself. All right. So now, I deployed the machine, good enough. So now what about actually deploying databases over there? Right? So if actually you are actually working on IT or actually a developer or actually a SQL DBA and actually you want to bring the latest backup of your machine today, of your database to do testing on the same kind of environment, what you need to do is you need to deploy this machine, then you need after that to take the database, deploy it over there, and just start doing your test or maybe validate your version if you are getting the right version or not. Right? So what you're going to do is we're going to use Orchestrator, and Orchestrator today should be able to take the AdventureWork database and deploy it on the SQL 11, or actually SQL 111. And since SQL 111 is not available for us today, what I will do, I will use one of the existing databases that I have, right? Let's see this. So before we do that, right? So with Orchestrator, we're gonna standardize automation task, right? Enable request based on SQL security, expand and extend SQL Server reach across hybrids, and automate database deployment. So every time you need to deploy a database, you don't really need to worry about security, you don't need to do anything. We're gonna deploy everything from Orchestrator using the same template. I actually wanna give my senior DBA access to this database, I will give them access. I wanna give access to this people only to this database. While I'm actually deploying the database, I will do that, right? Go ahead. Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, of course. Right. So since actually service design will in VMM, this is where it's fine. Yeah, because actually it has tiers. Yeah. So if I go to my Orchestrator machine, so for the people that actually they don't know about Orchestrator, Orchestrator is actually one of the newest products that Microsoft acquired from Opalis. And it works out actually, it runs off something named Runbook. It very much actually look like Visio. You drag activity in the canvas, then after that you start linking them together. The good actually thing in this activity is the links. Those links are actually active participant. What I mean by that is when it's success, means zero or mini one will do something, as I see, when actually success, do write an event and do next step. When it fails, do an error, or actually write an error on the event log, and when I see that. So this is actually a runbook that what it does exactly is it takes a database, the template of my database, or actually go and get the backup, last night backup, right, and deploy it to SQL Server, right? So second thing is from the orchestrator that runs off a data bus. The data bus is, when I go here and go properties, see the things? Those actually call them data bus. Actually, I can call parameters. I can get them from the first activities that I had used, right? So this information that I used in my previous task or my previous step is not wasted. We can use it always, all right? And in the right-hand side here, And you have things named IPs. The IPs come from integration pack. So every single system center feature or a product has something named an IP. And this IP is the common task that we do in VMM. VMM, you deploy VMs. In DPM, you do backup and restore. In service manager, you do deployment. In ops manager, you do alerts and monitoring and so on. So you actually can go in each one of these, and you'll see the tasks that you can do. I have data protection manager that actually creates recovery points and so on, so on, so on. Right, ops manager can do create alerts, start maintenance mode because I'm doing patching my SQL cluster and so on. So once actually I start hitting run, this will take the database itself and just move it and actually copy it from my last net backup that I got, right, and deploy it to my machine. So we can very much actually cooperate with your backup administrator. Tell him actually every day I need you to restore the database somewhere. Right? Every night, restore my database somewhere. And after that, this is my source that actually I keep reading from it to deploy my database for my developer if they want it, or my database doer, my run test. So far, any questions? Questions over there? Good. So if I do a run test, hopefully that one will run. That one actually will ask for a SQL Server name. What actually I'm doing today, you can actually take this as is and put it in Service Manager, create a template, create a service request, create a and the portal, and just let the people do it. Enter information, what the database you want to deploy, and go with it, and no more call and request for IT. So I'll call SQL 1 and hit OK. So that will start working workflow. If I go here in SQL 1, the database is not here. If I refresh, so the Adventure 2012 is here, right? Then the Adventure 2012 has a version. So I need to make sure that they deploy the right one. So what we do is we go and check the version for the database, which I believe we have them here. Which would be, it was here, I don't know where it goes. Then the orchestrator itself will actually create a text file. Then actually has successful done. And actually will create a text file in the output folder that I'm looking for a report. Data output and this database version. It told me that actually database version 11.02. So I know that actually the guy for orchestrator or the IT deployed the right version of the database, so I'm ready to go to work with. Good enough? Questions so far? So far, is this stuff useful? I see people say no over there. Is this right? Good. All right. So we said actually again, how many of you using SCOM, Ops Manager? How many of you monitoring SQL using Ops Manager? Right. How many DBAs use have to configure monitoring for Ops Manager? Any DBA here? So, do you know how to deploy it, do it? How about you give me a hand, come here. On the spot. All right. What's your name?
Lars.
Lars, I'm Islam. So, all right. So Lars today is actually my DBA. And I'm going to give him access to SCOM, right? And I will go and talk him. And Lars, by the way, do you have a PhD in anything?
Sorry, what?
Do you have a PhD? A doctorate? Okay. He doesn't have a PhD in SCOM, so we're good. So we are meeting the requirement, right? So to use this, no PhD required to do the task. Do we agree on that? All right. So last C, this is a console for Ops Manager. So what we're doing is we're actually going to try to see if our database is up or not using synthetic redaction. So it's very rare that I see a SQL Server by itself, right? I always see SQL Server has a database that talks to a web application or Windows application. Makes sense, right? So do you think that actually where we want to monitor our database SQL Server? It would be appropriate if actually we monitor our SQL Server or database transaction or database synthetic transaction from the application that talks to the database. So if I have a web server, I call it web one, and talks to a database, I'd like to see what the health status of from the perspective of this web server. Do we agree on that? Right? All right. Go ahead. Exactly. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see the watcher node who's actually watching this. I'm watching this from the SQL Server itself, from SCOM itself, from the web server itself. Right? So last. All right. So here we have something named the authoring. So maybe you can drive here. Right? So what you're going to do is you're going to go to OLE database source. Right? You're going to see multiple things here. Don't worry about them. Just right click. No, right click is just in the white place, yeah. And yeah, just go ahead. Right, show, like select OLE database source, next. Right, so call this actually last test, if you know how to write your name. Cool. So go, and after that, just go here and put the management pack. And for this DBAs that they don't know management pack, it's just I'm saving all my stuff that I create in a management pack, so when I move from SQL, from SCOM to another SCOM, I can export my managed pack and deploy them back, right? So I can actually save my work, take it, and next. Cool. So we're going to put a connection string. We are not going to type, so my server name is SQL1. This is the host name. Do you know how to write a connection string?
I can't remember in my head.
Awesome. So go build. And so provider, we're going to use SQL Server. Good, yeah. So computer name, SQL1. Right? And database name, it's MS Pet, P-E-T, shop.
Pet what? Sorry.
Pet is P, as in Peter?
No, Pet.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then what?
Shop.
No, Pet, sorry.
Yeah, Pet, shop. S-H-O-P, right? And hit OK. Mm-hmm. Right? Test the query. And that's most probably it will fail for the only reason that this database is offline, right?
Yep.
So don't like timeout. So go previous. Go next. Right. Right. So no, I don't want. Right. Did you say no or yes?
I said no.
Okay, good. All right. So maybe we'll just cancel it. Yeah. It will use the XCOM action here. Yeah. It does. Yeah. So, yeah. So again, do this again. So maybe instead of doing that, just go in the cancel this name. Why did you have to do this? So say yes, and just go right click on this guy. Right click, properties. Right, and connection string, and just test this guy. And I'm actually success. So it's same exactly thing that you did enter, right? But it just create the thing for you, right? And from here, what Lass has created for us, it will be reflected in the OLEDB transaction. If that one actually helped me and works. Did we do it? Okay, we didn't lose network. Okay, so we go here. And we go, for example, to this, and we go to open, and we go performance view. right? That one actually would call, will show actually the successful transaction for SQL. So we know that actually SQL is plugged to a switch and so on. So we know that actually we're monitoring our database from a perspective of database. How hard was this? All right, awesome. So you pass. Thank you very much. Can I give an applause for me, please? Thank you. Perfect. So, and you know what, actually, all things actually is going down because we have a database down and it's down for something, right? Do we have another DBA here? Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Any DBA here? Again? See? No one wanna show this. All right. So now what actually it happened always that actually, as I said, the database itself is not, it doesn't really do too much until actually an application talks to it, right? Right. So if we can do actually a distributed application, and I have a diagram that gives me the whole overview for my application itself as a whole. So it shows the web servers, it shows my web services, it shows my Exchange server, it shows everything, and shows everything from one place. So I'll be able to say in any time, you know what, I have a database down here. I have something wrong happen here, right? So this is actually what I call a distributed application, right? So we are going to create a distributed application that will show us what's happening on this one. But before we do that, I did show you the synthetic transaction, right? Microsoft acquired a company named Avicode, I'm sorry, and now they converted the name to Avicode, and they create something named APM. So APM actually will allow you to take this management pack and monitor all your application. So today, actually, we create a synthetic transaction that only show us up and down and how much it took in milliseconds to connect database, right? So with APM itself, it actually, when we do this, it will show, when actually shut down the database, it will tell us actually why it's actually down. Actually, when you get actually connection string errors, you can have multiple things, right? You can actually database corrupted or so on. So I did build the pet shop application. It's here. Right? So people are actually supposed to go and buy pets from here, either cat, dog, or so on, right? They're supposed to navigate on the website and get, but when they click to buy a fish, we'll wait. And because we know the database is down, because I did put it down, it's just gonna crash. Maybe sign in. There you go, right? So that actually will trigger an alert in the APM and will tell us actually, yes, there is actually something wrong, right? So if I go back to Ops Manager, and we go to authoring, and .NET application platform. I know that I heard some stuff about Java coming. If you are running application also in Java, talk on SQL. I heard something talking about Java for the APM. They'll be doing this. So let's see the properties of this. Then actually that one actually will show the pet shop application itself, how long it takes to the time actually we trigger an alert when things goes time out or not. So we can actually do what to monitor and from the server side and from the customer side. But I'm really interested in the customer side today. So if I go to active alert, no active alerts. There you go. So it will talk about something here that actually is not working and so on, right? So if I go here, in the application diagnostic, hopefully that will open. So until this is actually open, any questions so far? I was trying to get books for me as prizes, but the book didn't come. So go ahead. Great. Great. Right, so if you want to know, by the way, more details about APM, come to my session that I am talking with Igor Sashvenko from VIACODE. Igor, actually, he's the one that actually built APM from his company. Come, you'll learn more about it, about the APM, and so on. It's, I believe, either Friday, look at my name, you will see me and Igor, right? So you'll see actually a SQL exception here. And you'll see that actually in the exception chain that, you know, we have a login failure. And we if dig more, and if we have done the homework and we did load the BDEs, it will show actually that we have something not working. I'm not able to see, I'm not able to log in here. So it was actually, I did show you today that actually with a synthetic transaction, you'll be able to get the ping up and down and how much millisecond it took using SCOM to ping the database from multiple watchers, multiple nodes in the environment that you care about, your web server or your application or that hosting the server. Plus, I'm actually showing you with the application performance monitoring, you at what level you can do that. And if I did load the .NET files on here, I'll be able to go more in the stack and see at what line we're actually not doing well. I know that you have a question. Give me a minute. Right. I just give me a minute because we have only 30 minutes to run. So now, I want to actually talk to you about the distributed application and Ops Manager. So in Ops Manager, you have the concept of something named distributed application. And I did create this ahead of time for you, but that's actually the purpose of it is to go view the diagram of your the health of your application. If you have an, even a Windows application or a web application, you'll be able to see that actually from one single point of view what's happening here. Not only to see what's happening here. You can actually get this and display it on your server room or actually on the hallway of the company, show what's happening, actually your the status of the health of your application that you care about. Actually, are we up, are we down? What is our SLA? What is the dashboard, right? So, but also the good stuff is that actually we know the database is down, right? So what I can do, I can go here, right? And I have list a lot of, go here more. Right? You get list of tasks here. So without actually going and logging in SQL Server, you can actually very much do see what's happening. So my issue is that my database is offline, right? So I will go and just say set database online. Right? That's it. So your monitoring clerk or your monitoring person or the person that actually is taking care of overnight backup monitoring, he can very much go and turn on stuff without going having access to SQL Server. Do you think this is useful a bit? So far we talked about all of this. So let me log in here. So we show actually with SCOM that actually we can monitor SQL Server synthetic transaction, and Lars helped us do that. Thanks, Lars. And monitor SQL queries using application performance, and we show that actually that the SQL, the SA user or actually the application users is not able to talk to the database, and we show that. Then after that, manage SQL Server using distributed application, and we saw actually we were able to turn on database from the DA. So my second thing is, I have two other things. Well, actually, that the backup was DPM, and how a self-service backup happened, you can actually do it with the old way with DPM. or you can do it with Service Manager. And I have another thing for Service Manager when we're going to wrap up everything together. I'll say, actually, I want to deploy a SQL Server, and we'll go through the whole steps, right? Right. So let's move again here. Is anyone today using DPM? And how you guys are backing up your databases? Not backing up? I mean, SQL Server actually does a great job also to back up its database. How do you back up your DPM? Symantec is a good product too. I really have no problem with any one of these people, right? So if I go to here, if you don't know what DPM is, DPM is actually the Microsoft that complete the stack of the back of the private cloud to back up their private cloud. So in order to do that, you can create a new group, a new protection group, and the protection group is a set of policy. Right? Do you have a question? No? Okay. I was just coming late. So you create actually a new protection group, and the protection group is a set of policy. What do you want to back up, and when you want to back it up, right? And since DPM is mirror aware, SQL aware, and knows what about its database, if its database is in simple mode, recovery mode, it will actually allow you to do recovery points every 30 minutes because it doesn't really truncate the logs. If it's actually in a full recovery mode, it will actually truncate the logs for you, right? Like exactly SQL Server Agent. So if I go to say new, I say next, I say I'm going to choose server, I'm going to choose SQL 1. Then it will take some time to list all the databases that I am backing up. So it shows all the databases for this environment that I want to back it up. I will choose one of them. Hopefully it will come very soon. Right? All of these, they are standalone databases. But if these databases are mirrored, one of them, and it will tell you actually this is mirrored with some other server, and you need to push the agent for the principal and the mirror. Right? So when the principal fails on the mirror, DPM will keep protecting the database itself, right? Same thing for SQL Server. Go ahead. For cluster. Go ahead. Say again. Oh, yes, it does. So was a good question. Go ahead. Yeah, this is the same question. So the question, actually, both questions, they are talking about SQL Server always on, and they are talking about the availability group. DPM's 2012 Service Pack 1 today is capable to back up always on and the availability group, right? So the availability group, if you don't know, actually it will give you one replica, second replica in synchronous, and third one is asynchronous, and so on, right? Until four replicas, right? So it's capable to back up all of these, and it will truncate the log in one of them, right? And when you fail over those replicas, it will follow, and it will say, okay, you're now the first server, server one, or instance one in SQL is not my primary anymore. This is the second one, so it will go and back it up, right? Continue the backup. So we can choose the MS stop, and we go with it. So say next. I'll show that actually I'll have protection group, and I'll have the disk, and if I want to move it to Azure or tape, then how much retention I want to keep the data on disk, and if it is a transactional database with a full recovery mode, I want to back it up every 15 minutes. I did try to talk to the data protection manager group, and told them actually we want to have it every 5 minutes. They didn't listen to me, but what can I do? Then we do a full express backup. Full express backup is exactly a full backup, but it's only on a disk level. So we only move the information that got changed on a disk, right? And next, and you keep saying next till tomorrow, and that's it. So I'm going to cancel this, and I will show you the restore experience if you want a restore experience. SQL DBAs always, they have the freedom. like to back up their stuff and restore this data when they want. SQL DPM 2012 today offer you something named self-service recovery for DPAs. So self-service recovery DPAs need to install the agent, is install it on your workstation as a as an administrator SQL database DBA, or you install it in every single SQL server you have in the environment and just give access to the DBAs. With this tool that I will show you today, maybe I can log in again to DPM. See this? Actually, we can do very much custom security for this. So if I have a junior DBAs, they're allowed to backup or to restore data somewhere else, because you always actually restore the data on the same server, just to override the existing current product server. We don't want a database, we want to do that. So actually you can go here and you say add groups, and then in this group you can actually add junior DBA, right? And they allow only to restore the machine, to restore the database on different things. So if we leave this available like this, it means actually we're going to give them actually a white card, do whatever you want, restore your database anywhere. So I'm going to cancel this because we already have one available here. So I will go to SQL 1. And this is the agent, the agent we're talking about, the application. I say connect. So my DPM server name, DPM1, right? And I'm gonna do new recovery job, say next. And this is actually two databases that I'm actually backing up. I'm backing up the SMDB for some reason, and I'm backing up the sales databases for some reason too, right? So for the sales database, right, I can actually choose this. And actually, I want to restore this database at 2:45 because actually I chose before to back up my stuff every 15 minutes. Then I can actually copy or create recovery to any instance SQL server. Since actually I do have only one SQL server in the environment, and I cannot recover this on the same server, on the same SQL server, because actually otherwise we're going to overwrite the current database. So we can actually do it, recover it on a network, then yes, to use the attach, detach, process, and SQL server, do that, right? So if I do that and say next, you'll be prompted, well, this is what you want, and you choose the fully qualified name for your SQL server and the destination, right? That one actually should go and just download stuff, they install your stuff or restore your stuff. So I still have 13 minutes, and I really like to show you something that Anur and I we created before we come, the self-service capabilities. So anyone today using Service Manager? Here you go, cool. Anyone using so it's actually you guys only using Service Manager. Anyone using the self-service portal? SharePoint, good. So we already set up a self-service portal for the deployment. And this is actually what Comfort will try to do, this notion of IT as a service, right? It's not for everything that people, they need IT. IT gets swamped, IT, they have a lot of stuff, right? So we have created multiple workflow here, like automated backup request, right? What I want to backup, right? Or new SQL Server request. Actually, what I did show you today, actually using Virtual Machine Manager. Deploying SQL Server, I did actually automate this today. You can go through this, to the request, talk to orchestrator, go talk to Virtual Machine Manager, and do this, right? So if I go here in the new SQL Server request, and please provide the justification for this. Let's say actually, because it is easy to ask. And what is the SQL Server name for the server? I'll call it SQL 112. And how much CPU I'll keep default and what, how much memory do you want? Again, choose 2. And how much disk for the operating system do you want? Again, at 400, and go ahead next, right? And when do you want to have the machine due by? I can actually say, you told me 3 minutes over there? Where's my friend that he said 3 minutes? Left? Right. He told me three hours. You told me 3 hours, right? I would actually equivalent actually 3 minutes for $10. 3 minutes. And I can choose at what time I want it. And say next. I believe this is because we did add this last time. And just to go next, it should deploy that. Now it actually should take the same route, same path, as my virtual machine manager that I did create. No, don't get me wrong. It would keep working. I'll still get the $10 though. Right. So you remember the machine that actually we did deploy in the beginning, which is actually SQL 11? This is actually a SQL 11 that we deploy. So from any SQL Studio, I can go now and log in. If I did pay the demo guide enough, I can go on SQL 1, connect. At some point it should work, sometimes it doesn't work, I don't know. Anyway, so if I go back here, so now I told you actually that with System Center DPM, you can actually back up. It's supporting always on, mirroring, and cluster, and log shipping. I don't know if anyone uses log shipping anymore, but I think I don't use it. SQL Server Online backup to Azure, then SQL Server Self-Services Recovery Tool, as I did mention to you. Pretty much it. Now I believe actually I would open the floor for Q&A. If you guys have questions, let me know. Don't forget to evaluate the session if you like it. If you don't like the session, don't bother. No, I'm kidding. Evaluate anyway. So how many of you saw there's actually useful stuff for him? Ready? And it's not useful? Right. And how many saw it actually not useful for him? Don't be afraid. You? Awesome, good. So let's repeat too. Okay, so any questions for you? Sorry? Yes, you can do actually backup database on SMB 3.0. Yeah, on SMB 3.0. Good question. More questions? Sorry? Right. 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 So in Ops Manager, you already have some. If I go here and you go to Ops Manager. And here is you can actually do the application monitoring things. Oh, sorry. You can do your can add user here. More questions? Yeah. More questions. Go ahead. Say again. Right. Yeah, so the question about actually a self-server recovery tool that we created. So we agree that actually every SQL server that we backup has an agent, right? So, but you can actually install the SQL Server recovery tool on any machine, right? And just, it comes with the DPM bits on the ISO image. And just you can install it as an install applications next, and you need to configure it. That's it. Actually, you need to configure it from DPM side. More questions? More questions. I was expecting questions from you. So monitoring? Right. Yeah, we are covering this in another session with Igor and we're covering this in detail. That's actually going through this, but actually I can show it to you offline.
What about the self-service portal? Is it part of system center?
So the self-service portal, you need to, it works actually in conjunction with the service manager. Right. So let me finish this. So the self-service portal itself, it's based on SharePoint. That actually we have. Sorry.
Content server.
Yeah. So actually you can install this as a web server, individual server, web server for yourself, right? And do the publishing from a server manager to the SharePoint. That's actually just straightforward steps. You just need to go to my blog and see it. That's it.
We haven't tried it, so I don't really understand where it comes from.
So actually, if you go and look up on the internet, where is the self-server portal for Service Manager, right? You'll be able to download it itself.
You see, actually, we have installed by Microsoft a private cloud proof of concept.
Right.
And everything is completed there, and they installed everything from virtual machine images.
Right.
So
right, so the self-service portal bits itself that you go through the wizard and install next, right? Then you configure it on a web server, on IIS. It exists, the bits exist on Microsoft website. So you don't really need to go to the whole fabricated or encapsulated VMs. You can actually keep those on the side and actually keep them in your lab and just get the other ones.
Actually, I already destroyed that. We installed and keep them
in the right. Sure. No problem. Was multi-tenants? That's right. Yeah. So what you can do is with DPM today, you see this. Let me go back to this. And oh, maybe I went actually the wrong one.
Because to be honest, nothing in System Center is really geared apart from VM towards multi-tenancy, which is a massive problem if you're trying to
get that properly. Right. So was actually I didn't show this because I'm showing this today at 5:30 about the Azure and the subservice. Protection. I want to show you the configuration for Azure. So do you see the online? Right. So actually, this is a managed subscription. You can subscribe in Azure. Right. And just to get the certificate running and talk to the Azure and so on. Right. Are you talking about actually Azure Pack with Catal and all of this? Right. So your only way is actually using SPF. This is
yes.
SPF on the lower stack and just put the Catal on it. Right.
Say for example, a tape drive, really simple one.
Right.
Fine, what's the use of backups to tape drive?
So.
If there's a real difficulty in providing access to, you either need to manage it or abstract it.
Right.
Fine, that brings to the tenant domain.
Right.
It's a part of the tape drive, so it's no way to present that by a VM. So you're bridging networks to try and get them in the
and yeah. So, this is actually a really good question. And it's actually, if you come today at 5:30, 5:30 today, yeah, 5:30, 5:15 in my session with Nila from the DPM group, we'll be able to talk more about this,
okay.
Right? Because I know that actually you cannot have a hardware in Azure, but actually can go with VTLs and do your stuff if you want. I'm saying actually VTL, which is like appliance, right? So you can do that. So yeah, but also, yeah, I think also, I don't know if they announced more stuff about Azure and DPM. I don't know if I can talk about them or not. I know there's exciting stuff coming out of those things. I don't know if the keynote they talk. Is there any keynote this morning?
There was a keynote this morning, but I mean, then again,
you didn't talk about it.
No one really wants to tackle the problem. There's no multi-tenancy.
Right. Yeah.
We've hit with these problems, and it's just like,
yeah.
Again,